the next portion that we look at, it begins with verse 21, and we're going to read through verse 34. Now, we have seen the preparation of the way before the servant, as John prepared the way, the ultimate human servant, John the Baptist, and he exemplifies what a servant should be. And then we saw the preparation of the servant and his temptations that he went through and so forth. Then we looked at the preparation of the disciples. Now, having seen those areas of preparation, we want to look tonight at the presentation of the servant. The servant now has come on the scene, the servant. We're using that with a capital S, Christ the servant. The way has been prepared by John. He has been baptized by John. John now has been put into prison, and Christ becomes the foremost one. He's gone through the temptations. He's called some disciples to this point, giving us at least an indication of what it means to be a disciple, to be called to be a disciple. And now we see his first ministry, and we see particularly tonight the authority that the servant has, and we see his presentation to Israel, the beginning of his presentation to Israel. And let's read beginning with verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all of the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now, if there's one point that I want you to get a hold of tonight in this passage, where Jesus begins his ministry upon the earth, is the reaction of those who heard him speak and saw what he did. Because now remember, Christ is the servant of Jehovah, capital S, and prophesied servant. He is the perfect servant because he is man, perfect man, but he's also God. And he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon it voluntarily. He chose to become a servant. It was a voluntary choice of his will to become a servant and to go to the cross and die and serve man and provide salvation for him through his death upon the cross. Now, he chose to do that. But as he ministers now, remember what we said earlier, that he does not minister in his deity. He ministers in his humanity under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now that's important. Jesus said, I go to the Father. Now listen what he say. And greater works than these shall ye do. He said, you're going to do greater works than I did. How can that be? How can it be? How can we say such a thing that we are going to do greater works than Jesus did? Well, remember, Jesus did them in the power of the Holy Spirit as a man. As a man. We must never forget that. Don't let anybody ever take away his humanity. Now, I'm one of those who, for many years, hardly spoke of Jesus' humanity. The reason being, that's all that the liberals and modernists ever spoke of, because they didn't believe he was God. And so, in order to counter that, fundamentalists and conservative teachers and preachers over the years have emphasized many times his deity to the exclusion of his humanity. We must not forget his deity. It is all important that he is God, that he came into this world. He had always been throughout all eternity. Because the liberals only talked about his humanity, we oftentimes talk only about his deity. But when Jesus left heaven, came to earth, he took upon himself the likeness of sinful man yet without sin. He became a man and was tempted in all points like as we are. He died as a man in our stead, the sinless man, the second Adam, died in our stead, bore our sin, shed his blood for our redemption, rose again from the dead, went back to the right hand of the Father, and tonight, right now, as I speak, there is a man in heaven who's in charge of this earth. That man is our advocate. He is the man, Christ Jesus. And as a man, every knee will bow to him. Not as God, but as a man. Understand this now. As a man, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They're going to recognize that this man, this God-man, who came to this earth is indeed who he said he was and all that he said he was. And so, as he took upon himself man and was the servant, he's our example. He's our example. Now, we're not saved by his example, but when we want to look to service, then we need to look to how Jesus ministered. Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he ministered with authority. Now, this is the thing that is very unusual, that is pointed out in this passage particularly. We're going to see this authority displayed. And he is really confronting, as he begins his ministry, the first thing he shows them in the doing of these miracles and the teaching that he gave them, he is showing them his authority. Now, where is he getting his authority from? He's getting it from his master. He's getting it from God the Father. See? Now, you and I go out to minister as servants. We need to do it in the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. If you stand in a classroom teaching or in a Sunday school classroom teaching, you stand there with authority on your shoulders, on your head. See? So don't ever be timid. That's what 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 7 tells us, that we're not to be timid, full of fear. We do it with power, that is authority, and love, our ministry. when you speak, thus saith the Lord, when you can say, thus saith the Lord, when you speak the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can speak with authority. You need to understand this. And let the Holy Spirit speak through you, and let the word of God speak through you. You say, yes, but I'm just a poor man, a sinful man. Yes, but we are servants, and we're saved by the grace of God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we are to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that, because that's very important. A fellow goes out to be a missionary, he better get a hold of authority. A fellow goes out to preach, he better get a hold of authority. A fellow goes to run a Christian school, he better get a hold of authority. A teacher going to teach in a Christian classroom, she better get a hold of authority. Better understand that he is there by the direction of God, and if God has called him to be there, then God puts his power on him, his authority on him. And why does God give authority and power? So we can show off? No! To bless those that are under us. To bless those that are under us. If people who are under you don't get blessed because of you, you are not using your power and your authority right. You're just a tyrant. That's all you are. You're just a dictator. Whenever you use your authority right, it blesses those that are under you. They get a blessing. When a father uses his authority right, everybody in the house is blessed. It's a blessing, a joy, and a blessing to everybody in the house. When he doesn't, then he's just a tyrant. That's all. And so this is the emphasis here in this first presentation, his authority, the authority with which he ministered. First of all, the authority of his doctrine. We find that in verses 21 and 22. And they went unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The word of God had deteriorated in Israel to the point that nobody spoke it with authority. The law had lost its force and power upon the people. They had refused to listen to it. Religion had just become a system. They were afraid of the priests. They were freshly afraid of the high priest. They respected through the channels the religious system, and may have given somewhat of response and obedience to a religious system. But as far as the word of God, what do you mean speaking with authority? What do you mean, thus saith the Lord? How can you say, thus saith the Lord? Who is this man that teaches in this fashion and speaks with authority? And they were astonished, the scripture says, at his doctrine. He said, what new doctrine is this later on? What new doctrine is this? We never heard it on this wise. This is not the way the scribes teach. This is not the way the Pharisees teach. Reminds me somewhat, Dr. Bob Sr. used to talk about mealy-mouthed preachers and the kind of preaching, and he'd say, you know, some of them say, if you don't repent in a measure and turn to some degree, you're going to hell in a fashion. I mean, what is that? When we get a precept from the Word of God, we can speak with authority. See? As a teacher, one of the things that I love and enjoy teaching teachers, I am just almost in ecstasy with a blackboard with a bunch of teachers. I mean, I'm as close to heaven as I'll get till I get there. You give me a piece of chalk and a bunch of Christian teachers and a subject to talk about that I know something about and have studied and spent time with, like philosophy of education or discipline or some of the other things that way. And I'm in pig heaven. I mean, because I get every precept that I give teachers out of the Word of God. I get every precept directly. I can give you the scriptures for everything I teach, for everything. And I speak in absolutes. See? Jesus always spoke in absolutes. The only way you can speak with authority is to speak with absolutes. You can say, ye must be born again. You can say, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. There's no question about it. There's no probability or any chance, or you're not playing Las Vegas odds that you'll go to hell. You're going to hell without Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. Now, how can you say that with authority? Because the Bible says it. And if you're saying what the Bible says, you can say it with authority. Now, that means you have to know the Bible. You have to study the Bible. And it has to saturate your mind. It has to saturate your heart. And you have to be taken with it. You know. But obviously, of course, Jesus was. For he is the Word made flesh. And so when he stood up there and began to speak, he began to say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Scripture says. This is what the Word says. This is what the law teaches. This is what God has said. And they said, boy, who is this fellow? See? It's no wonder that a benighted nation, as Judah was, rejected someone speaking with such authority. Boy, they do today. Authority is a bad word. Notice he taught in the synagogue. That was the place where they gathered. And if the servant's doctrine is his master's, the master's authority is his also. Just remember that. If you go out as a servant, you say, that's a lowly job, isn't it, servant? In man's eyes, yes. But in God's eyes, no. It all depends on who you want praise from. See? You go out as a servant. It doesn't make a difference what you do. You go out as a servant. If you are speaking your master's words, you can speak them with authority like Jesus did. You say, well, I can never speak with authority like Jesus did. Oh, you couldn't speak with the knowledge and with the wisdom and with the understanding he did, but you can speak with the authority he did. You sure can, because he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's our master, and we go out as his servants. We can speak his word with authority. Do you know that's what I love about being a preacher? I don't mean that I love to stand up and you know, think I'm something or say something that way, but I love to be able to tell people something that works. I love to be able to tell people something that I can count on. If they'll do it, it'll work for them. And when you preach the word, that's what you're doing. You know, you're not like people out there in the world saying, you know, well, if you try this, your sales may go up. If you work at this, maybe this will happen to you. That, you know, you can take the word of God and put it to work, and it works. It works every time. See? Whenever I think it was Sam Jones who said, the pulpit is a throne. He said, when I stand behind the pulpit to give God's word, he said, I'm a king. I feel like a king because I'm speaking with authority the word of God. Not that he thought himself something. He felt himself so small he couldn't be seen behind the pulpit. It's not man trying to be seen or show himself, but it's man speaking the word of God. So the authority of his doctrine, it speaks and shows the deterioration of truth in Jerusalem. For it said he didn't teach as the scribes did. They were used to mild-mannered, weak-kneed, nothing. And that's what they'd been getting for a long time. But when Jesus began to speak, they were amazed at his doctrine. Now, so we have the authority of his doctrine. And then we have the authority of his word. In verse 23 through 28, let's read that again. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. This man's in trouble. He didn't care who heard him. He's got an unclean spirit. And actually, of course, it's the unclean spirit that's doing the talking. When devils inhabit a person, the devils take over oftentimes. I don't know whether always, but many times. The person's voice and speak through him. So this man with the unclean spirit cried out, saying, let us alone. Now get this plural. Let us alone. But there's only one in the man, this particular man. So he's speaking for all the demons that are here upon the earth. He doesn't like this man with this authority. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? See, that was his earthly title. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. I know who you really are. Oh, you're clothed now as Jesus of Nazareth, but I know who you really are. You're the Holy One of God. Boy, he knew him, didn't he? The Holy One of God. That's what the angel said to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. See? The devils knew him, and they knew who he was, precisely and exactly. See? But they didn't trust him. They believed it, but it didn't trust. That's the difference. They believe even and tremble, but they don't trust. That is, they don't trust him, depend upon him for salvation. So Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. See? There. Now, we see in this then that Jesus has shown authority in his doctrine, and now he shows authority in his word. He speaks to unclean spirits, or this unclean spirit, and the unclean spirits acknowledge that they know who he is, and Jesus' power over them is demonstrated. He says to them, hold thy peace, in other words, shut up, be quiet, and come out of him. Two things Jesus wanted him to do. He didn't want him talking anymore. Jesus was not interested in the recommendation of a devil. Paul wasn't interested in the recommendation of a demon-possessed girl who walks behind him. Some are so hungry for recognition, they'll take the recognition of anybody. Some of these preachers will go to any kind of congress and conference and take their recommendation. The devil never tires of tempting us along this line to try to get us to accept praise and recognition. Jesus did not want these demons going about saying, the Holy One is come. This person who is here is the Messiah. He didn't want the devils going and spreading it around Israel that the Messiah was come. You say, wouldn't he want that? I mean, that's what he came for, to be the Savior. He came into his own scene. Wouldn't he want that endorsement? No, he didn't want that endorsement. Now, if there's any righteous man, a godly person, wanted to testify to him like John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus will take that all the time. But not the devils going out and talking about him. And so Jesus cast the devils out of this man, and the unclean spirit obeys, had to obey. His word is with authority and power. And even the devils had to obey. And again, we have the amazement. First of all, they were astonished in verse 22. And now it says they were all amazed, verse 27. In so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So Jesus walks on the scene to take charge, speaking and acting with authority. His fame then, the scripture says in verse 28, begins to spread. You would expect that. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And now we see his authority over the fever of Peter's mother-in-law. They came there to, it says, the house of Simon and Andrew, or Peter and Andrew. And I have been, some of you have been, I'm sure, at the north end of the Sea of Galilee, where the old city of Capernaum was supposed to be. You've seen those ruins. And stood there on the dock. They got a dock there now. I don't think it was there in Jesus' time. They're not the same one anyway. But you walk right up this little kind of riverlet, like the water kind of comes in there, and you walk just a little place up there, and there is the footings of the old houses that stood there, and they tell you, and I don't know how accurate it is, that that was Peter's house there. And it was one of the places where Jesus went quite often. It's one of the places where he spoke to crowds, people who gathered around the door, and other places where he couldn't, had to let the man through the roof, things nature. It was a very popular place for Jesus' ministry there in Capernaum. And so this is the first record we have of that. Forthwith, verse 29, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon, or Peter, and Andrew, with James and John. At this point, only four of the disciples had been chosen. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And they tell him of her. Said, as soon as he came in the house, Peter's mother-in-law is sick. She has a fever. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now, the other person who's inhabited by the evil spirits was just a man that was in the synagogue, a Jewish man in the synagogue. This is someone close to Peter, someone very special, and someone that Jesus took a personal interest in, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So we see his authority now over physical sickness and disease. You know, it's an interesting thing. I heard somebody say this not long ago, probably was Vernon McGee. I'd never thought about it before. It may have been an article I read or something, magazine or something, but it said that nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. And nobody who was sick stayed sick in Jesus' presence. And nobody who was lame stayed lame in Jesus' presence. Nobody who was blind stayed blind in Jesus' presence. Listen, he is life. And his life is the light of men. And death cannot stay around Jesus. Sickness cannot stay around Jesus. Evil spirits cannot stay around Jesus. All those bad things, all those evil things, all those things must go. They can't stay around the Son of God. Oh, what a person is Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes he seems so impersonal. You know, we don't know what he looked like. And that's because the Lord didn't want us to know what he looked like. Many have tried to draw pictures. Nobody knows, because there were no artists in that. Throughout a long period of time during there, God saw to it there weren't any artists to draw any pictures. He didn't want anybody to know what he looked like. We're to see him through the scriptures. We're to see him through the word of God. That's where we're to see him. And to see him in all of his compassion, all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his concern. That's the way we're to see him. But where Jesus entered, he entered with authority, the authority of the Word of God, the authority used in the power of the Holy Spirit, and all these things dissipated. Her fever left her, and immediately she got up and served them. I expect when she heard them coming in the door, she was saying, oh, here I am laying here sick with this fever, and I need to be up doing something. I need to be helping them. I need to, you see, that's what a true servant is wanting to do. And as soon as he healed her, she said, oh, wonderful, I feel great. Now I can get out and cook them a meal. I can do something for them. I can be a part of this thing. I'm not sick anymore. She was so rejoicing. That's the reason she got up and served him. That's what was in her heart. That's what she was a servant. She was a good woman. And she wanted to serve. And she got up to do it. Now, then we see, of course, that there were many diseased brought to him, and many with devils. And he cast them out, the devils, and healed the diseases. And so with this, then, entering on the scene of ministry with the authority and power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes quite an impression as the servant of Jehovah, here in this passage in Mark. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, that we could catch the glory and the vision of being a servant. Oh, if we could catch how wonderful it is to be a servant of God. What joy, what blessing, what rejoicing there will be in glory to those who follow thee. Speak to us, draw us to thyself, deal with us about our selfishness and self-interest and self-desires, and get us thinking, Lord, towards service and obedience to thee and meeting the needs of other people and doing a job for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.